message was recorded live at Hope Church Warrington. To find out how you can get involved, go to www.hopechurchwarrington.com. Thank you for listening.
It would be appropriate for me this morning to bring you a word about Christmas, and I am going to bring the Christmas account and the Christmas story into the preach. However, something happened a couple of weeks ago, and it was something that affected me. And I mean, when I say affected me, it transformed my life. And I just, in my spirit, I've just felt that I need to get this word out to you. And I don't know what you've been doing for the last couple of days, but my wife's away. She's away for the weekend, and it's been fantastic. She's not here. She might listen to this, but... And so, basically, yesterday... Yeah, cut it out there. Thanks, Dave. Yeah, thanks. And so, yesterday, I had a day on my own. And I've got to be honest with you, I spent the day... praying. I listened to four sermons. I went online. I worshiped God. And from probably, I think, I got up at about 3:30 in the morning, all the way till 12:30 this morning, apart from a break to the chippy for fish and chips for my tea, because I can't cook. So that's what I did yesterday. And you know something? I know we can't all do that. And it's the first time for a long, long time that I've been able to do that. But I tell you, it was a blessing. It was a real blessing because I got to a little bit of tiredness and saturation point. And one of the sermons that I listened to yesterday was Julie's from last week. For those of you who were here last week, Julie was speaking. She's not here today. And she gave a great account and exposition of the story of Joseph and his attributes and the decisions that he made. And you know something? She was doing fantastically well until she got to the point where she spoke about the three wise women. Do you remember that? The three wise... What's all that about the three wise women? You know, it's the three wise women, because I think the three wise women would have probably been doing the hair or maybe doing a bit of shopping or doing something else. I still believe, come on men, you've got to back me up here. I still believe the men would have got to baby Jesus quicker than the women. I'm only saying this because she's not here this morning. So, but it was a fantastic preach, wasn't it? And I just want to bring it in this morning, something that was spoken into my life a couple of weeks ago. And I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where people speak something into my life and I go, wow. And when I receive it, I go, you cheeky thing. Have you ever done that? Oh, it's gone silent, hasn't it? It's all gone silent. And it's like a bit of a dagger to the heart. And When I was told about this, or I was spoken to over this, most of the time I just sat there, I think I stood there actually, and listened and took it in. And the thing is that I had a decision to make. I either took what was said personally, and I let it simmer, and I let bitterness come in, and I let anger come in, or I could go away and I could consider what was said and I could seek God on the matter. And I'll tell you what the matter was. It was gluttony. Gluttony. Somebody said to me, Tony, we're a bit concerned about you. And we're concerned for your health. We're concerned for your future. You're only nearly 50. You can start doing all that at 70. But now, Joyce is laughing. No, Joyce is saying, no, you can't. And I took that away. And I had a decision to make. And I was the kind of person that loves food. But not only do I love food, I love chocolates and cakes. As most of the leaders in here will be able to tell you, whenever I go around, when we used to meet at Becky and Nathan's, I think they used to be scared of me going around because they would have this tin which contained chocolates and biscuits. And I can imagine James, their son, the following morning going, "Mummy, Daddy, can I have a chocolate and a biscuit?" And they would say, "Sorry, son, Tony ate them all last night." But I did. And I could gorge on cakes, on sweets. And up until a couple of years ago, I was fit as a fiddle. I played football regularly, and I was fit as a fiddle. Until I did my groin in playing football, I stopped playing football, I worked behind a desk every day. There's always some kind of food or cake or sweets coming into our office. I'm always there, I'm always picking, always blah, 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 blah. And it came to the point where I didn't even realise the pounds I was putting on. And so somebody said to me, in a roundabout way, "You've got a problem. And I'm concerned. And I want to tell you your problem." And so I went away and I prayed about it. Now, actually, what this person said to me, my wife had been telling me for years. But you don't take notice of your wife, do you? God often works when he confirms his word. And sometimes he uses somebody else, maybe not somebody close to you, to tell you something that you don't really want to hear. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear. You can ask Maeve and Phil. They used to bring cakes and everything around to our life group, didn't you? I'm blaming Maeve and Phil, actually, to be honest with you. Sat there and all sorts they used to bring round. And so I decided. And the actual word that stuck with me when this person spoke to me is, "Tony, it's this. It's a decision. It's a decision." And we all make decisions, don't we? We all make decisions. We make some good decisions. We make some bad decisions. We make some horrendous decisions. Especially me. But actually, on this particular occasion, I made a good decision. And I determined in my heart that I was going to change. That I was going to stop eating cakes and sweets and chocolates. Because I thought that my body, as you can tell, was okay. There was nothing wrong with it. My body was a temple as far as I... But look at Chris, this is a body with a temple over there. This is a body with a podge. Okay, but I had to make a decision. And that decision was, I'm going to cut it down. Brilliant. In fact, in 2 weeks, I've cut it out. But I'm not looking for praise for that. What I'm trying to say to you is that in life, we have to make decisions. And we'll either make the right decision or the wrong decision. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 23, 20 to 21. You might hear something this morning you don't want to hear. Right. I'm not apologizing for that. Yeah. Because my heart is that when I've been spoken into my life, that you'll get a grip of anything that might be an issue in your life, and you'll make a good decision which will be great and will prosper you for the rest of your days. Yeah. Are we up, guys? Have we got it?
Yeah.
No, we haven't. It's not there. Are we there? Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat. In my version, it says, do not be with heavy drinkers of wine or gluttonous eaters of meat. For the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and the drowsiness will clothe one with rags. Wow, that's hard hitting. But it's the Bible, it's not me. And what it's saying to me there is, you glutton, you carry on going down the road that you're going down, you'll come to poverty and drowsiness. Now you might think, or I might think, well, do you know something? By continuing to eat, there's no issue there. By continuing to take all these sugary foods and these fatty foods and all kinds of things, there's no issue there. But actually, believe it or not, what's hidden is what's in the heart and what's in the mind and what it produces because of the recklessness of putting something into your body which isn't good for you. So, we often say, don't we, you've made a great decision to come to church this morning. And you have. You've made a great decision. I want to just ask you to make some decisions in your life this morning. You might not have to. You might be blessed. You might be rolling on the sea of the Holy Spirit. Everything might be lovely and brilliant in your world, and that's fantastic. So decision means judgment, conclusion, or resolution, act of making one's mind up, firmness of purpose. Firmness of purpose. You've got to be firm in your mind that if you're going to do something or you're going to stop something, that you're going to carry it through. Because if I'm saying this morning and in a month's time I put 2 stone on, what does that make me look like? I've got a purpose in this heart of mine that I'm going to do what I said I'm telling you I'm going to do this morning. Indecisive, not producing a clear and definite result. Not producing a clear and definite result. That's if you're indecisive. So, we make good decisions and bad decisions. I'm going to just have a quick minute and let you know about some good decisions I've made and some bad decisions. But hey, Trace, let's put this picture up, please. Look at this picture. Anyone see that picture? Now, if you don't know or you're not on Facebook, can you tell where the issue is here? Mr. Bowen is laughing because he's the one that pointed it out to me on Monday evening. I went to Dave's house on Monday, and I think you knew from when I went through the door. You waited till I left, didn't you? And then told me, and he was chuckling away. In the meeting, I thought it was the Holy Spirit chuckling him away. It was him laughing at my shoes. Look, I was decisive when I put them shoes on. I was decisive. I wasn't indecisive. I was just foolish with putting the wrong shoes on. But actually, I set a new trend. Come on. I want to see everybody in this kind of attire next week. I set a new trend. But I was decisive. And sometimes you can be decisive and still make the wrong decision. But it's better to make a decision than to be indecisive and make no decision at all. Do you know, over the last probably 6 months, but even in the last couple of weeks, you know, I've been speaking to Christians. You might think that's strange, but I've been speaking to people who have come into my world, and the conversation, at some point in the conversation, they have told me that at some point in their lives, they have slipped back. That for whatever the reason is, that they've slipped back and they've gone back into the world, or they're doing things which are of the world. And you know something? I get angry when people tell me this. I get extremely angry. I like to think it's righteous anger, but I get angry and I get annoyed. Not at the people who are telling me. I get angry at the enemy. Now look, it's easy to blame the enemy for things that we do, which we decide to do. It's no good blaming the enemy if you choose to go down a road that you choose to go down. The devil will set you up to fail. But we've already heard this morning, Jesus has already won.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if the devil set you up to fail, you're on the winning side. You're wearing the victor's crown. You wear the victor's crown. I wear the victor's crown. And it so gets me. And you might be in that place this morning. I know that there are some people in that place this morning. God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So even if you slip back and gone into old ways, you know yourself that Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. You might have one foot in this camp. You might have one foot in that camp. That's not what God wants. He wants you in his camp. Because when you're in the enemy's camp, he doesn't bother with you. He doesn't need to bother with you because you're doing his bidding. But when you cross from death to life, that's when he's going to come and get you. That's when the engine starts. He gets angry. He gets annoyed. He wants you because he knows that Jesus is coming again and that he's told you, Jesus told you that you are his forever and ever and ever. Let's put Joel chapter 2, 25 to 27 up. I've got 12. Where's that gone? You don't give enough time here, for goodness sakes. Joel chapter 2. Hey, guys, look at this. Look at this. For those that have lost the years, for those that have just made that decision and that choice to go the wrong way, but know of the grace and the goodness of God from years gone by. This is what God would say to you this morning. I will repay for you the years the locusts have taken, the great locusts and the young locusts, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent amongst you. I will repay you. He will give it you back and more. And more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Amen. Wow. I'm on a roll. Don't stop me. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Do you know something? For me, folks, and even for me, when I was seeking God yesterday, I've got issues in my life. Hey, don't think because I'm stood up here that I've got it all sorted. I'm way down the line. We sang a song earlier on, didn't we? Where it speaks about that he's greater than our sin. He's greater than our indecision. He's greater. He's greater. He's greater. And he loves you this morning. He loves you so much. I want to say to you this morning that it's time to take back the control and the lost ground. It's time to tell the enemy, enough's enough. Yeah. It's a time to tell the enemy, enough's enough. Yeah. You've got to make that wholehearted decision this morning to start following Jesus again. Yeah. I have. We all have. Have you heard of first love? First love? Yeah. Have you heard of being lukewarm? Have you heard of being double-minded? Yeah. Do you want to be lukewarm? No. Do you want to be double-minded? No. Do I want to be lukewarm? No, I want to be on fire again with the Holy Spirit burning and so many things going on in this place that we cannot fathom it, we cannot contain it, we cannot understand the mystery of the church growing and developing and people coming into salvation. Healing's taking place right in front of us because we're not lukewarm, we're hot, we're on fire, for Jesus. I want to read from, and I'm hoping you will forgive me this morning. Very often when we read scripture in church, we try and take snippets because of time. But this morning, I want to read a fair portion of this portion of scripture from the book of Acts. And it's concerning a slave girl, okay? And there's a reason why I want to read it all, because I want you to get the context of this absolutely fantastic account. So if we've got it, Trace, Acts chapter 16, and we're going to read from 16 to 34. 16 to 34. Actually, I'll read it. I think I've got my Bible here, so I'll read it from here, and you can read it up there. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Paul finally became so troubled that he turned round and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. Strangeness, isn't it, that my version of the NIV is different to your version of the NIV? But anyway, there you go. Anyway, where are we up to? Sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Thank you very much. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself! We're all here!" The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Yeah. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into the house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Hallelujah. Firstly, Paul said to the Spirit, "You have got to start talking to the devil. You're not glorifying him anyway, but you're telling him, you're telling him, you're commanding him that from now on, it's not happening. It's not happening. Not on my watch, it's not happening." And you might say, "Tony, how do we do that? I'm not worth it. I'm not worthy to be able to do that. I'm at such a low point in my life. I can't do that." Oh, yes, you can. Because the devil will tell you you can't. Did God really say? Rubbish. Open your mouths. Speak the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. These guys were flogged and beaten and stripped, and they were put into cells. And these weren't any ordinary cells. These were the cells that most of the worst criminals would have been put in. And they would barely have been able to move. And they had a choice. They had a decision to make. They could have sat there and felt sorry for themselves and be tending their wounds and going, I wish I had some paracetamols, and I wish I had some salve to rub on. And they could have been feeling sorry, and they could have been blaming God. This is something that we'll never probably go through in our lives, flogged and beaten for our faith. And they had a choice. And they had a choice to make. They had a decision to make. They moaned and blamed God for the injustice. But no, they didn't. What did they do? They prayed. Hallelujah. They sang hymns. Yeah. They prayed and sang hymns. Yeah. And because the decision that they took, we see what happens right at the end of the story. The jailer, he had two decisions to make, didn't he? The first decision was a terrible decision. He was just about to kill himself because he would have been responsible for any of the escaped prisoners. But Paul intervened. And the next decision he's made was the best decision he would ever make in his life. The decision he made was he ran to Paul, he fell at his feet and said, "Paul, what is it I've got to do to be saved?" What a decision. And because he did that, salvation came to the jailer and to his family. Because of the decision that he made. You know, when I was a young lad, one of my favourite, and I don't, hymns, was a hymn called "And Can It Be?" Yeah. "And Can It Be?" And there were some words in that song that when, I still get emotional. Amen. "My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." Because of the decisions that you and I make today, your chains can fall off. Your heart can be free. Have I finished? Yeah. Bearing. Matthew 1:21. You know, the accounts of Jesus and the birth of Jesus, there were lots of decisions made then. Yeah. Quite a lot of decisions. And she will give birth to a son, that's Mary, and you are able... And you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That's the reason that Jesus came. He would save his people from their sins. And if you look at the account of the birth of Jesus Christ, Joseph had a choice. Joseph had a choice. He could have divorced Mary. He had three choices, of which he thought about two that I could see. He could have had her stoned. Could have had her stoned to death, but God had another way. And that other way was that they would get married. Yeah. Joseph listened and was obedient. Yeah. He chose and he made a decision that he would follow God. And be obedient. Herod made a decision to send the three wise men to go and worship Jesus. That was a good decision. Or was it? No, it wasn't. Because his ulterior motive was because he wanted to kill him. The wise men made a great decision when they went back via another country after being warned in a dream. Joseph could have stayed in Egypt, but he was told in the dream, "Get up and take the child to Egypt." Another wise decision. And then when Herod had died, get up and take the child back to Israel. He could have stayed where he might have been comfortable for all we know. But he chose the right thing. And I don't know where you're up to this morning, but you've got decisions to make. And you'll have decisions to make for the rest of your days. And some decisions will be very difficult decisions. And some decisions will be easy decisions. But this morning, I want to confer on you a little baby that was born fully divine, fully human. We're hearing the baby crying. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? God made the decision that he had to send his son. And he came and he was born in humble circumstances and surroundings. He died on a cross for you and me. He rose again 3 days later for you and me. He's now sat at the right hand of the Father. I can think to myself, the Father and the Son having a bit of a conflab now. Hey, Father, what about Chris? What about Ian? What about Hope Church this morning? Let's just bless them people down there. Let's send the Spirit again. Let's get them to return to their first love. Let's get them not being lukewarm, but being on fire. Being on fire and ready for a new season, for new challenges. Church, we need to be a church that is ready to make good decisions. Because that's all it is. It's a decision. And we want to be a church that are making good decisions and a people that make right decisions, wise decisions, not indecisive decisions.